Lord, may your word be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Hide it in our heart, Lord. We may not sin against you. All right. Amen. So a few thoughts I was just reminded of today in my time with the Lord. Just the ministry of Christ, what he does when we're in his presence. And it's just important to me that I have that time where just carved out, where it's just me and him, and time enough, in other words, and time enough for the Lord to do what he wants to do within me, you know. And that could be different for everybody, so this is not. Scripture here in 1 John says, see how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God, and such we are. For this reason the world does not know him, because it did not know him. For this reason the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we shall see him just as he is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself, just as he is pure. You know, and that word there, especially in verse 2, this is chapter 3, which I really don't believe it's talking about. In context here, it's talking about the second coming of Christ. But when he appears or makes himself, that word is just makes himself real or reveals himself to us, right? What happens is that there's this purifying process that happens within us. God just begins to call forth that new creation and heal so many things that are there. And I was just had my eyes closed today and just praying to the Lord. And I could see I was in a place, you know, I was with him. And the just extremely bright light, you know, it's so bright you could feel, like when you go outside, you can close your eyes, you can feel the warmth, but yet you can kind of see the light through your eyelids and stuff. And the Lord was just, I could hear him, and it was like he was just pulling me closer, but as closer, I was like stepping in this huge tree, you know, as big around as this sanctuary here, like a huge oak tree. And I was like, Lord, I'm not really, what is this, you know? And so it reminded me of, you know, told me to turn to this place, reminded me of the ministry of Christ in Isaiah 61. The Spirit of God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. And this is, you know, when Jesus started his ministry, he read this. But this is the continual work of Jesus, right? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. To bring good news to the afflicted, the humble. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners, right? To proclaim the favorable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. To grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning. That word means calamity. The mantle of praise instead of a spirit of fainting or heaviness. And they will be called oaks of righteousness, and the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified, right? So it was like, this oak of righteousness, those oak I was seeing was the Lord, Jesus, the presence of him, right? And he was speaking to me like, this is who I am, you know? And when you're in my presence, you're there with me, then you can find yourself in any one of these places, right? Faint-hearted or heavy-hearted. You ever been there, real heavy-hearted, and go before the Lord, or you may have a spirit of mourning or some calamity that's called that, or afflicted, broken-hearted, right? Liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners. Captives are usually something somebody else has done to us, right? Captive, take us, or something that I've done that's kept me in prison, right, in my emotions and stuff. So he was just reminding me of that. This is just who he is, and that we're, you know, when we're taking time lingering there, you know, one of the prayers that Jesus prayed in John chapter 17 is that, Father, I desire that they whom you have given me be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory, which you've given me, and you've loved them before the foundation of the world. So one of his prayers is that, I want these guys to be with me where I am, right? And to linger with him, to hang out with him, right? And there's times which I know he's always with us. He's in us. He's around us wherever we go. We're clothed with Christ, but he's also seated there. When we're seated with him, and we're called to at times, like David said, just to gaze on his beauty of the Lord, you know. That's what David was praying. I want to just live the rest of my days in your presence, Lord, to just gaze on the beauty of God. And the beauty of God is every aspect of who he is. Just to kind of linger and gaze and have that time. Another scripture the Lord brought to mind. This is in Hebrews. Now the God of peace who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord, equip you in every good thing to do his will, and working in us that which is pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. So there's a thing that's just really pleasing in the sight of God. This is in Philippians. For it is God who is at work in you, within you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. It gives God great pleasure for us to experience his glory, you know, his who he is. For us to experience everything that we've created his intentional creation for us to be, that we can just enter that now. Just quickly, just been listening to this great book. This lady is talking about, I always knew, because we have people a lot of times we pray for in our Lazarus weekends, and sometimes the Lord will take us back and bring some healing into their life when they were in the womb, you know. Really, like, I didn't understand that the first time we started doing that years ago, but it proved to be true. But this person goes into scientific detail. Actually, it used to be they were an atheist at one time, a scientist, and she had this massive encounter with God, and they used to do all these kind of tests, you know, of feelings, how much energy they have and where feelings can come from, and how sometimes the feelings that we can have is something that our mother carried, or she didn't, you know, really want to have this child, and that child has their whole life had a sense of abandonment or something like that. Well, they got that there, you know, something they've carried. And there was something I carried my whole life. And when I first went through ministry, it was broken off of me. I had my whole life and went back to something my mother had struggled with when I was in the womb. So those kind of things, I just bring that up. Say, when we're in the presence of God, we're just lingering with Jesus, and he just calls us into his presence. He begins to heal those things. You know, he begins to take us back and touch and heal and purify that, what that word said, just as he is pure. And then we become like him because we see him as he really is. Right? What a great thing. What a great ongoing process for us. And we'll actually, for eternity, that'll continue to happen to us. That the joy of his presence will just grow. Isn't that just fascinating? It'll grow for eternity. Like the beings that fly around him saying, holy, holy, holy. They never get tired of doing that. You know, I thought they might get old after a while, but they love it because I think, what's the guy in IHOP? Mike Bickle was the first to say, you know, that they have all these eyes, it says before them and behind them, and they just continually see new glimpses of who he is, the glory of God. So we have that awesome thing to happen every day of our lives, so we can go and sit and be with him. So just I know you know all that. Just to encourage you, the ministry of Jesus continues. Continues in you, continues through you, and it gets better and better.